I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to warn you that I will be tossing this ball to some of you while we do the sermon, and I would like for you to catch it when I do, and then toss it back to me, and I will also attempt to catch it. I'm not a great catcher. When I was growing up, I did youth sports, and I was pretty much the kid that frequently the coach or my teammates would have to be like, "Hey, Kinzer, heads up!" Because I wasn't always like in the game, you know, like paying attention to what matters. And they wanted me to understand that, like, hey, the ball or the play is coming to you. It's about to happen, and you need to be paying attention to the thing that matters right now. So heads up. So if I gave you a heads up, Mike, and then you would toss it back. Oh, that's good. That was awesome. Hi, Brad and Laura. Brad, heads up. See, just like that. I needed that. I needed someone to be like, heads up, Pat. Right? You got to watch out. Like, I might send this to anybody. I wonder if I could get it mid-pew. Do you think I could get it to Blanco? Think if we... Nah, we're going to break something. I'm really... It's summertime. I feel like we could try it, but invariably I'd hit Aaron in the head, and then everything goes badly. So this whole heads up is part of what I want to talk about with regard to the gospel. The gospel this morning is so unbelievably appropriate in my mind because I don't know about you, but I've been feeling super anxious the last couple of weeks. It has been a hard couple of weeks, and it has been something that has stoked a lot of fear, anxiety in me, and I'm supposed to be like the preacher, right? Jesus's words today in this gospel are for a church that feels anxious and afraid. So if you find yourself like me in these times, feeling anxious, afraid, unsure, this gospel is for you. This is Jesus has teaching for us today, ancient wisdom about how to live in times that feel like this. And it's interesting because basically he gives two practices to take on that help measure anxiety. So I want to show you what they are. Look at this gospel at the bottom of page 2. Heads up, Bob. Yes. All right. Can you get back? Yes. That was about my skill level, honestly. I was like the kid on the soccer team that always like scored on my own goal when I was trying to kick it back to the keeper. Some of you played on sports teams with me, you remember. Okay, so Jesus starts this teaching in this gospel. He's finishing a whole run of teachings to his disciples about how not to be anxious. Heads up. And he's telling them not to worry. Heads up. And so in so doing, he's concluding that teaching here, where he tells them, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, why is this something that's supposed to be good news or reduce anxiety? Well, remember, the kingdom of God or the reign of God, this is about the space, place, and time where things are as God wants them to be, where the world is ordered in its proper form, where everybody has enough and everybody gets what they need. And so this is the world that Jesus is proclaiming is happening in his ministry, and then the church proclaims after his resurrection is growing everywhere all the time. This is what the hymn we sang refers to, the whole universe restored and whole. This is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is saying that this kind of reality, where everything is actually right and as it's meant to be, God is so excited, it pleases God to give this to the world, to give this to us. God's like, I'm doing this because I like it, which is good because sometimes we might feel like we have to earn that or that's not a guaranteed reality, that maybe things are actually going off the rails, but it is the pleasure of God to give the kingdom. And so this is how it's kind of tied into the notion when we get worried, I think we feel like, heads up, that things are actually going off the rails. Heads up. But in fact, the kingdom assures us, God assures us that they're not. Heads up. Is John back there? All right. So then in response to this, Jesus gives two practices. The first is generosity. Jesus says, so sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. When we're afraid, is our fundamental posture open arms, risky and lavish generosity, feeling like, you know what? What could go wrong? Let's take the risk and give away. No, that's not our posture, is it? When we feel afraid, our posture is close off, hole up, protect whatever limited resource I might have, because if I don't, somebody else might get it, and I might not have what I need. Of course, this is so destructive to our joy, because what happens when we're doing this? What are we trusting is going to take care of us? Our stuff, the things we have. And Jesus is like, you can do that, but it will wreck your heart. Trusting God is actually where peace, wholeness is. And so part of how you can indeed practice the direction you want to go is by being generous. Basically, Jesus is asking, all right, heads up. Yes, she's like, I might throw this at you, not to you. Jesus is kind of asking, how do you see the world? What kind of universe do we live in? Do we live in an open system where there is infinite resource and there is always the possibility of new and there is enough for everyone? Or do we live in a closed universe that is limited, resources are scarce, and whenever you get something, it means someone else lost something, and whatever you do have, you need to protect or someone will take it from you. And you've got to make sure you got to throw as many elbows as you can to get what's yours. Jesus is asking, how do you see the world? Is it generative and open with enough for everyone, or is it closed? And if you see the world as open, why wouldn't you give generously? Of course you would. If you trust that God is really healing all things and there's enough for everyone, why wouldn't you be generous with what you have? Because you won't be without unless you don't really believe that. So you start to feel the pinch of the teaching. Are you following me on that? Okay, so then the second thing he does, heads up, Robin. Oh, Robin! Heads up. Again, that's kind of how I did it too. The second teaching then, or the practice he gives them, is alertness. He asks his disciples to pay attention. He tells two stories to say, be ready. The second one is kind of a weird like example from the negative. Like if you knew someone was gonna break into your house and you knew when it was gonna happen, you wouldn't fall asleep at the hour that it happened. But the other one that's kind of more interesting and telling about what he's trying to get at is this first example where he says, what you should do in waiting for the return of the king, waiting for God's full and final bringing of the kingdom, the return of the Son of Man, he's like, it's going to be like slaves waiting for their master to come back from a wedding banquet. And they're waiting up because when the master gets back, he's so excited to see them, he cooks them all breakfast. This image is of a master returning and fixing a meal for his servants, right? So ideas we sometimes carry about like the return of God and the second coming and this sort of thing, they're usually informed more by kind of misinformation in pop culture and certain traditions. Because what Jesus is talking about is, no, you should keep watch not to avoid punishment. You keep watch so you can be ready to receive gift and blessing. Do you see the difference in that? Right? Because there's enough for everybody. Because there is enough. Do not be worried. You don't have to be. There's plenty for all of us. So there's alertness and there's generosity. Basically what Jesus is saying is heads up. Jesus is saying heads up to his disciples. He's like, look, there are going to be a lot of things out there that are terrible and awful. There is real darkness. There is real evil. There is real destruction. We have to name it, see it, confront it, push back against it. But it is not the real and truest story out there. The goodness of the kingdom is. And what's going to happen is you're going to be tempted to look at that which is destructive and negative and name that it is all that is. Jesus wants you to wake up, heads up, and say, no. There might be another way to see this, and that is paying attention to the places where God is growing goodness and healing, because there's more of that than there is of the other. The light is truer and more real than the darkness. The light is reality. The darkness is the aberration. Jesus is saying, heads up, don't ever forget that. Because what happens when we forget it is we start to act in our anxiety. And we usually do like one of two things. One is we'll take our anxiety and we'll just start like putting it on other people. Have you had people do that to you? Maybe even the last couple of weeks, people get angsty and they just are like, what are you gonna do about this? What's your problem? And they're fussing and they're fighting and they're saying mean things on Facebook. Or what you see is people say, well, we have to do something about this. And so they want to act in the world, but they act out of their anxiety. And when they act out of their anxiety, very often, and you've probably seen it, the actions end up becoming part of the problem they're trying to solve in the first place. When you're acting out of anxiety and fear, even what you're trying to accomplish, you might end up subverting because of the way you're approaching it. And so Jesus' invitation is, yes, we have to act. We have to recognize the reality of that which is dark and unhealed and unredeemed. We have to get after that stuff, but we have to get after it through love and an expectation that there is enough, or else we will become part of the problem we are trying to solve. Are you with me? Okay, so I want to give you a practice for how to live like this. And this has been super helpful for me. And some of you have prayed this way with me. It's basically a prayer that we're going to pray, and we're going to do it with our breath. All right, so I want you to think in your hand, on one hand, I want you to think of an adjective for you that describes God. Just in your head right now. You don't have to say it out loud, just think of it. What would be an adjective that for you right now describes God? Okay, and then on the other hand, I want you to think of a name for God, a name that's been helpful and connecting for you. It could be Creator, Jesus, Yahweh, whatever for you has been helpful. Okay, does everybody have their two words? Do the people that have vowed that they will never pray this prayer also have their two words? All right, so here's how you pray it. You sit up, you close your eyes, and you start to breathe. In, breathe out, intentionally and deeply. You might even feel the breath pushing up against some anxiety you already have. Breathe through it. And then to yourself, when you breathe in, say the adjective to yourself that describes God. And when you breathe out, say the name for God. Give this a try for a second. All right, let's bring it back. How was that? What are some things that people experienced? Did anyone feel more peaceful? Anybody? Yeah, kind of weird, right? Did anyone have a hard time with this? Be like, I'm too crazy. That's okay too. This kind of praying, for me, has been revolutionary because you can do it anywhere, and the invitation is to do it in the face of the anxiety you've got, the thing that scares you the most when you feel it overtake you and you want to freak out, pass it on to someone else, or act out inappropriately. Stop, because it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So breathe. Let Jesus give you heads up and reorient you to see what matters, so that as you act and work for healing in this world, you bring it about and don't end up working against it accidentally. This is what we're going to bring these kids into in baptism, this way of life. This is what you guys get to teach them as parents and godparents and grandparents. This is what it means to be a family that shows them this is how we do, because it takes community to do this stuff. And for everybody else that are here, and we're going to all take vows with your kiddos when we baptize them, if you feel like you need a little extra help making your way out of anxiety and toward a heads up freedom, when you come up for communion, put your hand in this baptismal water. Put your hand in this and get a little baptism on you. Remember the newness that can come every single day in Jesus. Remember the fact that in baptism we proclaim that things can change, and they do change, and they are changing. So may you pay attention, heads up, to where God is moving, and go with God where that takes you. Amen.